This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
My partner Wes Durham's got breaking news earlier today to tick me off for the rest of the weekend. I'm verified. I'm not happy about it. I did get a note from my daughter Gigi, who is thrilled to death that I've got a blue check mark. And boy, does that change my life entirely. I feel like a different man. I'm verified. Good grief. All right, we're going to verify some teams that are in the dance, Wes. Forget about the bubble. Forget all that nonsense. Hey, can we play our way into it? Can we get hot in Greensboro? Let's talk about who is feeling good about life on this Valentine's weekend coming up, where you say, hey, you know what? I know there's still work to be done, but we feel good about where we are here in the ACC.
Well, Joe Lunardi, who, by the way, joined Roy Philpott and Brooke Weisbrod last night during the Belmont-Eastern Kentucky game over on ESPNU, was talking about the brackets last night. And I know you missed that one, didn't you? Able to catch many
hashtag,
of the Bruins and the Colonels, right?
Hashtag, I'm going to go old ACC Central with you here. Hashtag, not going to be able to make that one. I'm bringing that one out of the mothballs for you. What was that game again? Who was that last night I missed?
It was A.W. Williams and Eastern Kentucky. They were visiting Casey Alexander and Belmont, who, by the way, are 20-1 in the OVC.
They're a good club, but that was a hashtag not going to be able to make that one. With that said.
So the ACC right now, according to Joe Lunardi, has six teams in the field. Six. All right. So let's look at the details, kind of the dirt in the details about those six. And, you know, you can say, well, I think Virginia will go a long way. I think Florida State's got a chance. I think Clemson this. Let's start diving into kind of the dirt, if you will. First of all, here are the projected seeds, according to Joe Lunardi. All right. Virginia a 3, Clemson, Virginia Tech 4, Florida State and Carolina at 7, and Louisville at 8, Pac.
Well, first of all, it's not Lunardi. Let's give him some props here, because I'm not going to throw him under the bus. I am going to throw the BPI again under the bus. If BPI thinks Florida State's a 7 seed, then I'm literally sitting on Mars. I'm sitting on Mars right now. Come on. Please, don't insult us. Don't insult us, BPI, with Florida State as a 7 seed.
Can't wait till you get to meet.
You
BPI
always like
people.
To talk about transparency. I'm going to be crystal clear. That is a joke, BPI. That is a stinking joke. If you're going to tell me that Florida State is a 7 seed, if Florida State's good enough to win the national championship, they are not a 7 seed. Please,
right?
Don't insult us.
I'm with
that.
You,
BPI.
Totally with you.
Joke.
All right, but let's get beyond that, okay?
All right, fair enough. Leave Lunardi out. Lunardi did not have Florida State. I don't assume he has him
BPI.
At a 7. BPI.
BPI, yeah. Did not. It's Joe Lunardi. We got a lot of people in charge of doing stuff like this. Okay. So when you look at those teams, though, which of the ones do you think are, at least on the surface, ready to make a run in the event? Virginia?
Yes.
Florida State?
Yes.
What about Virginia Tech, Pac? I mean, what do you think? I mean, we see a home loss to Penn State. We see home win against Virginia.
I think they've got a toughness to them. And the answer to all three of those is yes for me. Now are you asking me for a national championship or a run? All right, now define that.
Yeah, I asked for a run. I didn't because
define
because we're
run.
Going to show you numbers.
Does
here
a run mean get to the second weekend? I mean, you got to define that for me. Wes. Yeah. I don't know what run means. Run means hey,
run
I can
be,
run to the bathroom here during the break.
A run would be 2 or 3 wins. How about this? A run would be 2 or 3 wins.
Yes,
2 or 3
to all three of those teams.
Okay.
Yes, Virginia, Florida State, Virginia Tech.
Then let's go into the details. Let's start with the Cavaliers since they were at the top of the list. If you go into kind of where Virginia is, quad 1 wins, quad 2 wins, remaining strength of schedule. 8 wins against quad 1 and quad 2, that's not bad, Pac.
I know,
and all 3 losses are quad 1, quad 2.
No, I'm not worried about Virginia. Virginia, to me, is they're doing their thing. They get North Carolina tomorrow. They can build up on that as well. There's still another test of Florida State, which I can't wait to see. Hopefully the Noles will be able to knock off the rust by the time the Hoos get together on that game. But I'm not worried about Virginia. I mean, we know what Tony Bennett's DNA is. We've seen Virginia win a national championship. Yep. We've bragged about what they've done to the ACC here in the last 4 years, and it goes a lot deeper than that, too. I'm not worried about Virginia. You know, I was earlier. You know, when they were playing against Gonzaga and getting run out of the building, that team looked like it had some work to do. But, man, the steady improvement by UVA, they're the best offensive team I've seen them have in a long time. And now they're starting to, you know, stifle people on the defensive end again. Certainly saw it against NC State, and I thought we saw it in crunch time against Georgia Tech in Atlanta this week, too. Yeah. So I'm not worried about Virginia. I mean, I think they're doing their deal.
All right, let's move to Clemson here, because I think we've seen Clemson through a critical eye. After some early season success, the Tigers came back from the pause, pardon the pun, not great. And that's where the bulk of their 5 quad 1, quad 2 losses came from. But remaining strength of schedule, this goes back to your point. What they've done, is it enough to be countable toward what they're going to do? Remaining strength of schedule is 81. I like the Tigers in the event. I think that they are capable of a two-game deal in the first weekend and getting to the second weekend.
Here's what I'd say about Clemson. Do they continue their fine play from last week? I think they will. I've told you a couple weeks ago, I think the Tigers are going to be a team that's going to pick up momentum in February, because it is a manageable schedule. They had the tough lifting in December and in January. That's a team that hadn't even played BC yet. I mean, so, you know, they're not going to see him in all likelihood. So, I mean, they've had the worst part of the schedule, and they're still standing. And to me, that is a good sign for Clemson. My biggest concern with the Tigers, though, as far as making a quote-unquote run, as you define it, I think it's all going to be about matchups in the NCAA tournament. Because there are times that Clemson does not score the basketball. Their defense is really, really good.
Right.
But to me, matchups in the tournament will be critical to their success. I'm more confident with Virginia, Florida State, and Virginia Tech getting two in their belt and moving on in the tournament. Clemson, with the right matchups, could definitely win more than a couple. But, there always seems to be a time for them where they just don't score the basketball. And you go through stretches where no matter how good your defense is, you got to be able to score. So if they're able to improve and get confidence, which I think they're going to with this February and then a March schedule, they could be one of those teams, but I think the matchups in the tournament will be critical to their success.
If Clemson is focused and ready to go, they do one thing that at a high level that'll really be a problem in the tournament, and that's defend.
No question. Hey, no doubt. When they're playing their basketball,
they defend it like they have at times.
Yeah. They're no joke. And by the way, I know they don't use the RPI anymore, the infamous RPI. Clemson is the highest ranked ACC team in the RPI. Just saying. Let that marinate a second.
All right. Four more to go here. Let's go to Virginia Tech. 7-4, quad 1, quad 2. Remaining strength of schedule is 37. And the current seeding is 4 for the Hokies. Now, a lot of Virginia Tech, easy to look at two categories. 3-point shooting and turnovers. But you could say that with a bundle of those teams. But in the Hokies' case, they are glaring areas. They shoot it well from three and don't have a ton of turnovers. More than likely, they're going to be victorious.
I like them. I wish Radford were back. That would be another body, right? They can contribute. But I like everything about this team. They're well coached. I like their toughness. They can win a high-scoring game. They can get down and dirty with you. I'm buying Virginia Tech. Yeah. I like everything I see there. They just need to stay healthy and get some momentum. And there'll be some more tests for them, too. They've lost some games that we wanted to see based on cancellations and postponements and so forth. But I'm buying Mike Young's team. Like them.
All right. Here's the team that we mentioned at the top of the segment. 6-2 versus quad 1, quad 2. And the remaining strength of schedule is 57. The current seeding is 7 for Leonard Hamilton and Florida State.
Well, the seeding's a joke. I mean, that's
amazing.
It's embarrassing, is what it is. This is a team that, when completely healthy and good to go, has the DNA to win the national, not play for one, win it. And I know Gonzaga is great. I know Baylor's great. But there's plenty of dudes and guys that have some unfinished business from a year ago, who a team that won the ACC championship. I think Florida State can go. I really do. But they've got to get healthy, right? They got to get back into a rhythm of playing again. But when they're on, they are really, really talented.
Right behind the Seminoles, who, by the way, host Wake Forest tomorrow at noon in Virginia on Big Monday over on ESPN. Let's examine the Louisville Cardinals here, because they were supposed to be in Blacksburg to see the Hokies tomorrow at noon. Louisville will be coming off a pause here at some point. 6-3 against Quad 1, Quad 2. Remaining strength of schedule, 9.
It's legit. That's legit. Here's what I'm going to tell you about Louisville. Again, to me, guard play is always critical in the NCAA tournament. Louisville has that box checked in big West Durham colorful ink markers, all right? If Malik Williams comes back, I think this is a team that, you know what, you're going to give me them as an 8 seed? I'm going to tell you, with the Cardinals and Malik Williams, they're not an 8 seed. Malik Williams' return to the lineup and production, to me, is the key for the Cards in a quote-unquote deep run in the NCAA tournament. If Malik Williams comes back, I think Louisville can pull that off. I do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that they've developed enough of an infrastructure as a bench and all the other little things to go with the guys that start. Williams comes back, he becomes kind of the centerpiece of a team that would have new momentum going forward, right? I mean, it just seems that Williams is that momentum piece for them. And he doesn't have to come back and average a double-double.
No.
I mean, he just has to come back and be a contributing piece inside for them.
Exactly right. And to me, Louisville truly is the wild card of these six teams that we're going through, because that is a piece. We kind of know what everybody looks like. We don't really know what Louisville looks like with that piece, right? I mean, we haven't seen it.
Right.
So him, I hope he comes back tomorrow. But we'll see where that goes. But that's that, to me, is literally the missing piece of the puzzle for Louisville.
Last team on this list is Carolina. Tar Heels are 500 in Quad 1, Quad 2, 6-6. Remaining strength of schedule is 18. You see, Louisville's is a little bit harder. Their seeding is 7. Interesting spot for the Tar Heels to be in, who are 12-6 and 7-4 in the league at Virginia tomorrow.
Here's what I like about North Carolina. We're starting to see these freshmen make shots, right? I mean, 10 of 15 from three land against Duke. If North Carolina's guard play, their perimeter play, becomes more consistent, we know about the front court. The bigs are really playing well together. Yep. I think this is why the strength of schedule actually works to North Carolina's advantage. They're going to get tested. We've talked about the schedule gets tougher from January to February for North Carolina. And if they're up to the challenge, Wes, and respond, that's going to be a team that's going to be tested and feeling good about itself as they roll into the ACC tournament and the NCAA. They're going to be a matchup problem for folks. I don't care where you put them in terms of their bigs. And if you tell me their guards are playing smart, they're not turning the ball over 20 times, North Carolina, to me, is one of those teams that can make another one of the quote-unquote runs that you were talking about. So the six that we got in here, based on the infamous BPI, I think there's huge upside for all six. The question is going to be, to me, can we add to that list and find out who can make a run in February and March to improve their resumes?
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Wes.
All right.
Let's bring him on.
Yes, sir.
I'm fired up to talk to him.
I mean, what do you want me to say? Finest announcing moment in ACC network history.
No
last
question.
Week, Rock Harrison joins us. The analyst for Friday Night Duels. I got one question right at the top. And I was asked this question this week, and I simply do not know the answer. I'm going to surmise that Rock is not your given name.
That is absolutely correct. That is not my biological government name.
All right. How did you get the nickname Rock?
Actually, great question. And a lot of people believe because wrestling is strong and tough, but that's not it. It was actually, it came from when I was 7 years old in the second grade, and they said, look, you need to learn how to swim. And that was not a lesson that I wanted to learn. The only swimming I did was in a bathtub. So when they put me in pool, I wasn't very buoyant. So they said I would sink to the bottom of the pool like a rock. And so since I was 7 years old, but that's because I wasn't very buoyant. And now I'm a little more buoyant. So I float.
Hey, Rock, can I give you a piece of advice?
Sure.
Let's go with, I'll tell you why they call me Rock. Because I'm tough. I'm nasty. I'll beat you up. Let's go with that one as opposed to I can't swim. I'm just saying, man. If we're going wrestling. let's sell them on something else. Let's just sell them on the fact that you know what rock means. You come over and touch his bicep, you'll see what rocks mean. That's where we want to go with this. All right?
Well, you know what? That would be the case until you have a four-year-old, and a four-year-old starts to bully you around and tell you what to do. So I can't be the rock before you.
Well, I know this much. Friday night, this past Friday, listen, Virginia Tech, NC State, the two best wrestling teams in the league, and no disrespect to anybody else, everything at stake, last match, last second. I mean, you couldn't have scripted a better case scenario in terms of the drama, and your natural instinct was everybody on the couch watching it. I mean, people were just going bonkers that it came down to this match, and it's Camacho who's so good for NC State. And, man, lo and behold, you couldn't – like I said, it was just vintage television.
It was great television. Beyond that, it was the fact that when you have great coaches, you have great wrestlers, and then you also have great administrations, you get great performances like this. And when we have these great performances and these moments like this, you get excited. And my play-by-play, Sean Kenny, kind of put me into the right mode. And then once it got there, I literally lost my mind. And it was awesome because emotion, you could just express it. And quite frankly, gentlemen, I do exactly what every fan does that watches sports. You know, if you're watching golf, you kind of lean with it. Or if someone gets dunked on you, you know, somebody hits a big stick with them. You know, so in the moment, I'm just talking, and I do exactly what every fan does. And as analysts, that's what we want to do is portray the passion for the fans and the wrestlers.
All right, so we get Pitt, Virginia Tech tonight. We had Nino Baccaroni on yesterday. We had Sam Latona on from Virginia Tech earlier this week, who obviously had the huge 2 points at the end. This seems like a really good duel, but how much of tonight impacts where we're going with both these programs, Rock?
It's all about momentum, and how you end the season is a catalyst for how the season goes towards the ACC championships and the NCAAs. Don't be deceived. Pitt is tough. Their record in the ACC may not show it, but they have guys that, as Coach Gavin said, are nice guys, but are tough, kind of like a how is that possible? But they have a breed in Western PA. 9 of their 10 starters are from Western PA, and they are legitimately tough. Their only losses have been to top 20 teams. And so when you look at Virginia Tech, right, the question that you had, are they going to bounce back from, you know, having a high win and continue to wrestle the way they do? If they wrestle the way they do and what they've done, it should be a control match by Virginia Tech. But Western PA guys, they are tough from the embryo.
By the way, I guess there's some breaking news regarding Pitt's wrestling at Buck 33, though, isn't there? As far as trying to upset Virginia Tech tonight.
Yeah. Unfortunately, looks like Mickey Phillippe may not be wrestling. He wasn't listed as a probable starter. So if he's not listed as a probable starter, the likelihood is that he's not going to be in. And I tell you what, gentlemen, I was looking forward to that match with Mickey Phillippe versus Corbin Myers. That was going to be a match to watch because Corbin Myers is the only person to beat Mickey during the ACCs in his career. And he's been wrestling so well. So, you know, it's one of the things that happened, and Coach Gavin will have the next person in line ready.
All right. Hey, Rock, I got to tell you that last week we had Quinn Miller on this show, the heavyweight from Virginia. And henceforth, every Friday on Packer and Durham is now Fat Boy Friday. Right, Pac? That's
yes, sir.
They deemed it Fat Boy Friday.
Fat Boy Friday.
Now, you know, Friday Night Duels has kind of captured a lot of the momentum. It's one of those sports that Mark and I talked about when the network launched. We felt like there would be sports that people wouldn't have seen on a regular basis or maybe have never seen, and momentum from that sport would make it popular. Wrestling has certainly been the beneficiary of that concept. But it helps when you got kids like Quinn Miller wrestling in the ACC who are willing to come on and just be authentic about, you know, kind of what they want you to know. And he was incredibly entertaining. How many of those stories, I mean, you wrestled in this league. Those stories are on every team, right?
Absolutely. When talking to Coach Gavin, I asked him who's the funniest guy on their team. And he said, Cole Matthews. He's hilarious. And this is Keith Gavin, who doesn't really laugh loud. He has a monotone voice. But the fact of wrestling is so great because you have people from all over the country, all different backgrounds. So you bring their personalities and then you throw them in the locker room and then you throw them into the wrestling room. You're bound to get some wonderful personalities. And that's why we love the sport, because there's not one type of genre, not one type of person or personality. If you weigh a certain amount and you can perform, then you can wrestle for the team. And that's why wrestling is so awesome. These wonderful personalities. And if you ever get a wrestler and you all have interviewed them, they have a lot to say. Once you start to bring them out of their shell, they have funny things to say. And I saw that interview with Quinn, Fat Boy Friday. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, Nick Lanacorsi was on with us yesterday. You'll have him tonight with Pitt. And he was talking about his brother wrestled at Pitt and, you know, messing up the furniture as kids. And you can only imagine, close your eyes and see two wrestlers and, you know, two teenage boys getting after it, going, hey, no, forget it, man. You move that, me against you, let's go. And, you know, again, you said it. The personalities of these student-athletes are out of sight. And on top of that, they're pretty good wrestlers, too. And this league has been out of sight. But every time I think of Virginia Tech, and you're going to see them tonight, Makai Lewis, right, it comes immediately to mind. This is a bad, bad man, Rock. He is something else.
He is a bad, bad man. But, gentlemen, I think this is going to be the match of the night with Jake Wenzel from Pitt. He is returning ACC champion at 165. And Makai is returning champion from 2 years ago at 165. And you almost say, well, Harrison, how in the world can you have two returning champs? Well, it's because last year, Makai took what's called an Olympic red shirt. Makai Lewis is going to be the wrestler that he's been. Stoic, just goes for the points. But people have been wrestling him a little bit differently this year, and it's made it a little closer. Jake Wenzel is strong, and once he gets what's called a bear hug, once he squeezes a bear hug on you, he'll break your back. So Makai's got to get out of that position and continue to wrestle the way he does. But don't sleep on Jake Wenzel. He's good on top. It's going to be a match of two ACC champions. Gentlemen, that will be the match of the night.
All right. Rock Harrison, Sean Kenny will have coverage of Pitt and Virginia Tech tonight. The Friday night duels at 6 o'clock. Basketball follows. It's the kickoff to a big Friday night of sports right here on ACC Network. All right, we're going to have you back prior to the ACC Championships. We got to get the full preview. And then, man, knock on wood, let's hope we get some national championships and things like that in the mix too.
Can I add one more thing? Look, you all, sure. I just want to make sure that I'll let you all know that you all do a great job with wrestling, the love that you give us, the fact that you continue to put knuckleheads like me on television and all the wonderful wrestling. You all are just doing great, so we appreciate the fact that you give us so much love, and you do a great job. Thank you so much for loving wrestling.
Well, you guys, you're the stars, man. We're just getting in front of the parade. We're just getting in front of the parade, Rock.
That's it.
You know, that's what we're doing. But you guys are carrying. You're doing all the heavy lifting, man. Have a great broadcast tonight. I wish they were all as good as last Friday. That's impossible.
Yeah.
But in this league, with five teams ranked in the top 20. You're going to see great competition, and that's what you're going to get tonight. We can't wait to watch it.
Thanks, you very much.
Appreciate it.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Lots of guests coming your way. Of course, we're an hour and a half from Trevor Lawrence. Wowing NFL scouts was an amazing arm. Amazing. NFL scouts will sit there and go, gosh, where have I been? I don't know, NFL scouts. This guy's been great for 3 years.
You crack me up.
Come on.
You crack me up.
guy's going to put on a display and people's eyeballs going to pop out of their head at 10 a.m. when Trevor Lawrence comes out there slinging BBs 70 yards on a rope. NFL scouts are going to be drooling going, oh, my God, he's unbelievable. Yeah, well, we knew that. Could have told you that, I don't know, 3 years ago. Guy's a player, man. That's what he is.
Hey, breaking news. He's good.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going with?
I told you. Okay. If I hear or read or see any NFL scout after Trevor Lawrence wows him by throwing it 50 times or whatever he's going to do, you'll find out this morning at 10 a.m. here on ACC Network, that if I hear of any NFL scout that acts like, boy, I really found out that Trevor does the tree, they should be fired. I mean, where have you been for 3 years? I mean, he doesn't beat up on the
system. I think it's a given that he's going to be a good player.
Gosh.
I think it's a given he's going to be a good player.
Come on.
You know, the jump is there from, everybody can run, everybody can hit. You know, the level of athleticism certainly goes up a notch. The reality of it, though, is what's he going to have around him? That's what's going to be, you know, early on, that's what's going to tell the story, is what's he got around him, Pac.
I understand that.
Whether it be Jacksonville, New York, or Miami, Atlanta, wherever.
I totally understand that. But I'm talking about at 10 a.m. this morning, I don't want to hear an NFL scout.
No, he can throw.
Give me a breakdown. Now, we really found out that Trevor has a very, very accurate and strong arm. No kidding. Wow. You guys are amazing.
Now, let me add this. There is going to be one thing you're going to hear about at 10 o'clock, and that is apparently sometime after he throws today, there'll be some sort of slight surgical procedure on an impingement or something with the left shoulder. Does not affect his ability to throw the ball with the right hand. I'll be interested today to see how many times he throws across his body, given that condition, and knowing how good he is doing it, by the way. That's one of the things I would say, kind of a fan's guide, what to look for in the pro day that comes up at 10 o'clock today. And he's good, by the way. He'll be good.
Great. No, he's not going to be good. He's going to be great. He's been great.
Why don't you ask Gilio what he thinks? Ask Gilio if he thinks that the scouts will be wild today.
God, what a joke, NFL.
All right.
Freaking joke.
Joe Gilio joins us from Raleigh here on Packer and Durham. Joe, do you think the NFL onlookers will be wild today by Trevor Lawrence?
I would hope so, Wes. I still remember his freshman year when they played NC State and Ryan Finley was floating the ball to the sideline. And then Trevor Lawrence comes in and just zips it 25 yards across the field. And I was like, oh, that's what an NFL arm looks like.
Well, you saw that 3 years ago. And like I said, if I hear an NFL scout mention it at 10:30 this morning, my boy, he's got a better arm than I thought, I'm going to go down and punch somebody right in the nose. I mean, hello, you guys, somebody do some work. Anybody doing any work? Anybody watching any tape? I mean, how many years does this guy have to play at the ultimate stage and wins all the time, and you don't know this? He will put on a display this morning at 10 a.m. on ACC Network. I promise you. Well, first of all, Joe, let's get away from football for a second. We got this Duke NC State thing tomorrow. Who would have thought in the middle of December – that you'd be looking at two teams going exactly nowhere as we speak?
Yeah, it's been a tough go for both teams. And I think they're one game apart right now. State's 8-8, Duke's 7-8, and I would not have predicted that. I've been on the Duke is going to struggle bandwagon this year, based on, believe it or not, their first game when they couldn't blow out Coppin State. But I think they've gotten better. The issue is that they still haven't figured out how to close teams out. And, you know, they've lost six of their last eight games, and they look like a team that doesn't know how to close other teams out. But that doesn't mean they're not talented. NC State, to me, guys, is like one of those – I think we were all there at some point in our life where we dated somebody or wanted to date somebody who was slightly out of our league. And we just thought, you know, if we just show her the best side of us, this will really impress her. And it goes well for a little while, and then all of a sudden she sees you maybe play golf and you throw a club, or maybe even worse, she sees you lose a bet, and she's like, who the heck is this guy? And I think that's what NC State's season has kind of turned into. It started well with the best of intentions, but it really has broken down here since the calendar flipped to 21.
Can we just end the interview now? Because I'm not sure you could top that analogy for the next 10 minutes.
You like that one.
You know what was so good about that analogy? Every guy watching or listening to this show is nodding, going, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's the funny part about it.
Oh, it was awesome.
I hate that for state because I do believe the way that the season started, you know, I feel like the second COVID pause really kind of mentally wore them down. And then obviously the Devin Daniels injury, another 1-3 since the Devin Daniels injury.
All right. But Joe, let me go this route. You can see though, where the Shaq Moores, the Cam Hayes, the development of Manny Bates, guys like that, you can see where, you know, while it may not end well this year, you can certainly see where this is going for Kevin Keats. Can't you? I mean, I can. I think that, you know, Darion Sebron's got a chance to contribute. I mean, they've got player development in place is what I'm getting at.
Sure. I think you worked the Virginia game, Wes, and the first half against Virginia, they didn't have DJ Funderburk really going on all cylinders. So they had a lineup out there with Manny Bates and Jericho Helms and their two young guards. And I'm going, okay, you know, you have something to build on here. And I think that's what Kevin Keats probably needs to focus on here for their last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. It honestly wouldn't surprise me either if they decided to self-impose a postseason ban at this point, Wes, because you want that group going forward to be clear and free of any potential issues with the NCAA.
Well, that is a topic that we will address later in February and early March. And who knows, Joe, what this ACC tournament, much less the NCAA tournament, could look like. Hopefully we could pull it off and everything's cool, but I mean, who knows, right? I mean, every day you just kind of go through the sports world and say, we're just kind of tiptoeing, hopefully not getting any bad news of cancellations or postponements or whatever. Somebody's going to have to win this game tomorrow. And with that said, if you had to pick, who would win this game tomorrow?
Ooh, State has won 4 of 5 at PNC Arena, but you guys both know that's usually when you have the best crowd at PNC Arena. It's none of the angst of when they play Carolina. It's more of the party, festive atmosphere where they really enjoy themselves. Obviously, that will not be the case tomorrow. But you look at the rest of NC State's schedule, and I hesitate to question how many of those games they will care about. I do think they will care about this game on Saturday. You could probably flip the same thing on the Duke side. How many more games is Duke really going to care about? Obviously, they'll care about the Carolina game at the end of their schedule, but I think this actually could be one of those fun games. You know, neither team is locked down defensively. So this could be a fun back and forth game. And that's what I'm rooting for.
All right. Carolina is at Virginia tomorrow night. Tar Heels put enough bigs on the floor, but boy, the Cavaliers look really good, Julio. I mean, they look like they're playing great. And the comeback and the win the other night in Atlanta, just the latest edition of it.
Yeah, this is a different Virginia team. They're very accomplished on the offensive end. Trey Murphy is a kid from Cary. He played his high school ball in Cary here in North Carolina. He's really added an extra element to them shooting the ball because I think Sam Hauser probably reminds Tony Bennett of his Klay Thompson days at Washington State. That's how good of a shooter Sam Hauser is. But when you add that extra element that Trey Murphy is off the bench for them right now, it's making them really, really dangerous in March because I saw them here in Raleigh. It was actually the first game I went to this year, and they look like one of those teams where you're like, okay, they're completely focused on the goal at hand, which is the ACC regular season championship, and then you know that's going to be a team that once they get into the tournament, they're not going to be distracted in Indianapolis. And how many teams can you really say that about other than Baylor and Gonzaga? So I really like what Virginia's doing. I really like what Carolina's doing. You know, Carolina's won, seven of their last 9 games in 2021. The big problem for them, though, is they're only 1-5 in Q1. And I know it's a different year, and I know not all of our NCAA tournament selection principles are going to be applied, but you still need quality wins. The good news for Carolina is five of their next six games are going to be Q1 games. I think if they can win two or three of those, they'll be safely in the tournament field.
I totally agree. That's why I think North Carolina's schedule works to their advantage, Joe, and that may be, and we'll find out, of course, but the way they shot the ball against Duke in terms of the perimeter, making 10 of 15, again, Roy would sign up for that tomorrow for every game for the rest of his life. But if they get any kind of consistency with their youngs on the perimeter, we know how good the bigs are. I think North Carolina can gain some momentum by playing really good teams, getting tougher, and getting into March. They could be a tough out once we get in the dance. I think they're definitely going to be in the dance unless they just roll over and play dead here the next 3 weeks, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think obviously Roy Williams has been waiting for Caleb Love to look like what we all thought he could be, not necessarily as a highly rated recruit, but as a point guard in Roy Williams' system, right? That's the lead dog that you want to see. The game that he had against Duke with 25 points and the way that he shot from outside, you could see he rose to the challenge. You could see his interest in that game. And, again, just from going to one game this year, not Carolina but State and Virginia, you can see the biggest mental hurdle that these guys are just trying to stay engaged. And when you're Caleb Love and you show up and it's Duke and Carolina, guess what? You're really interested in doing that. When it's, you know, a Tuesday night against Notre Dame or maybe going down to Wake Forest, you're thinking to yourself, who the heck are these guys? So I do think the schedule works in their favor, and I do think it is something that could potentially North Carolina can build off of. Is Caleb Love going to score 25 points every game the rest of the way? Probably not, but it's good to see that you know what his ceiling is now.
All right, Joe, appreciate it as always. You're the man. Thanks for the analogy on NC State, by the way.
Yeah.
No, the analogy was strong. Didn't you think, Pac? I thought that was a quality moment.
I thought that was quality work, Joe. It was worth getting out of bed for.
Absolutely. I was up bright and early for you guys. Never oversleeping again.
Joe Giglio, folks, you can read his work at WRALSportsFan.com. You can hear him on radio on the OG afternoons on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. Thank you, Joe. Have a great weekend. Tell Jessica hello.
You too, guys. I will. Be good.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. ACC Network. What's wrong, Chester?
How you doing?
I'm good. Chester gave me the look a second ago.
Chester okay? Kinda,
yeah, you know, he's normally sound asleep. Now that you're not here, you know, there's Chester on the green room chair. Fuller's been out since show started.
Yeah.
I'll make sure he's still breathing. Yeah, so the boys are sound asleep. But Chester just gave me the look as we came back to break there. He just kind of looked up like, hey, fat boy Friday. Yeah, you're still sitting there. Got a bad knee. I got you.
I'm sitting here looking through some of these mock drafts, by the way, during the break, and you'll be shocked to know Trevor Lawrence is number one across the board on about seven of them.
Shocking. Amazing. Guy's a good player. Maybe the NFL scouts
be throwing
will find
at 10 o'clock right here on ACC Network.
It's going to be fun. Listen,
Trevor Lawrence, change away.
He'll be throwing around. And, you know, Cornell Powell, guy that we mentioned yesterday with Reese Davis, had a great, great year, came back. Mm-hmm. And again, given the fact that Clemson's injuries at wide receiver, guys had to step up. Cornell Powell had a great season, and he'll have a chance to showcase some skills today, too. So we finished this thing up at 10 a.m. It's all about Trevor Lawrence and company down there in Death Valley. So check that out. Yeah. It should be fun.
Let me also add, too, that former Clemson wide receiver, remember Sharone Peak?
Sure.
Pack, wide receiver at Clemson, who played briefly for the Jets, is now in the Canadian Football League. He's going to come back and also is reportedly – Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reporting that Caleb Scott, who's had stints in Seattle and Green Bay, Chris Fink from San Francisco, Sharone Peak are guys who were going to be catching passes along with Cornell Powell. Scott and Fink in particular are free agents. Powell, as we said, is in the CFL. So those guys all coming back as free agents who want to look. And, you know, Trevor's got some work with them, I guess. I'm going to guess Scott and Fink might be out in California where Lawrence has been since declaring for the draft to work on his game. And he'll come back today to Clemson to throw, and we'll have it for you at 10 o'clock. Reese Davis, by the way, will be there. So there you go. That's a kind of an update. And all the mock drafts have him as the number one pick, and that would be the Jacksonville Jaguars. And We'll have more on the draft as we get closer to April right here on this program. We had senior night last night in women's basketball at a few venues around the ACC, and special moments for sure at Louisville, where Dana Evans took her final bow at the KFC Yum Center last night with 25 points and 7 rebounds and an 85 – or 7 assists, rather. 25 points, 7 assists, and a 15-point win against Georgia Tech. Now, that's 85 against one of the better defensive units in ACC women's basketball in the Jackets.
I believe that was a true and false question yesterday, whether or not they can get to 70. Well, they answered that question. This is a really talented team. This is a team that can win the national championship. And one of the reasons for it is Dana Evans. She's my favorite player in the league. Yep. She's been on this show multiple times. She's engaging. She's fun to talk to, and she's fun to watch. And you saw the emotion of senior night, realizing, I can't believe I'm not going to play in this building again. Wearing this jersey, and they're going to finish on the road a bunch, but I don't think it's going to matter. Louisville seems to be playing with a purpose, but they will get a test coming up on Sunday on the road at Syracuse.
NC State beat Clemson last night by 21 points. Wes Moore and the Wolfpack got 21 from Kayla Jones to go with 7 assists and 5 rebounds last night. Big win for them. Let's go to Winston-Salem. Joel Coliseum last night. Took an overtime for Wake Forest to get Pittsburgh 64-61. The final there, Gina Conti on senior night from Columbus, Ohio. 18 points and 8 rebounds for Coach Hoover and the Deeks. So congratulations to Gina.
Gina goes 7 of 10 from the free throw line, shooting now 83% on the year, 71 of 85. As I've said from day one, when the Wake Forest women's basketball program alerts me to what their favorite charity will be, I will make a donation for every missed free throw by Gina Conti this year to the charity of their choice. And we hope to get her back before the season gets away from us, because she was so much fun to talk to on the air. Mm-hmm. But a good win for the Deeks, a one that he needed, because you start looking at this schedule, and you know the Deeks are now at 500 in the league, along with Notre Dame. We know about Louisville. We know about NC State. Georgia Tech has had a little slide this week, unfortunately. Syracuse, tough loss. They get an opportunity with Louisville. Florida State now over 500, so it's starting to take shape in the ACC race.
Yep. Also last night, game one of our doubleheader here on ACC Network, Liz Kittley had 19 and 11 for Virginia Tech. They beat Miami in Coral Gables 75-55. Nice win for Kenny Brooks' team last night on the road. So the Hokies continue to make their push to the postseason. Remember, they were ticketed to go the postseason a year ago when the tournament got shut down. You hope that Virginia Tech gets another chance to do that. The one upset of the night, Pack, was in game two, and it was in Tallahassee last night. Florida State beat Syracuse 67-52. Bianca Jackson, 18 points. Orange is starting to become a little bit of a an unknown here. You get good Syracuse. Sometimes you get bad Syracuse. Sometimes you get indifferent Syracuse, Pack. I still think they're going to be fine, but just not a lot of confidence rolling right now, I think, with what Coach Hilsman's out there with.
Well, it's interesting because Syracuse is 8-5 in the league. And Virginia Tech, who you just mentioned and referred to, is 6-7. I get a sense that right now, if you had to pick, you may have more confidence in Virginia Tech at 6-7 in the league than you would with Syracuse at 8-5. And like I said, Syracuse is going to get a test. Louisville comes rolling into town on Sunday. But the Hokies, with all those close, tough losses that we talked about, man, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And they're basically have worked themselves back to 500, Wes, and they must have had 5 or 6 games determined by 5 or 6 points or less, that they lost every single one of them till they finally knocked off NC State a couple of weeks ago and kind of get over the hump. And since then, the Hokies are hot. Syracuse is not. But there is probably, like I said, 6 or 7 or 8 teams in this league that are probably going to get to the NCAA tournament, maybe even more. And you just don't know who's going to catch fire here these last 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.